Hello everyone, my name is Tatiana Gefter, I use she, they pronouns, and I am playing Alma of the Vale with the Gravedigger playbook.
Hi, my name is Nishit Zaya, I use any pronouns, and I am playing Fletcher the Witch.
My name is Janine Florence Jacinto, I use they, them pronouns, and I play Haku Bayani, Starkeeper.
Hello, my name is Okta, I go by they, them pronouns, and I will play Nail Three Strings. From the Weaver's playbook.
Hi, my name is Harper Sage Pettit. I use they or she pronouns, and I will be your guide for this season of Queer PG of Kith and Pen.
The content warning for this episode includes emotional manipulation, physical assault, unconsciousness and unresponsiveness, and ghosts and spirits.
Hi, Mom. I don't know what color I'm writing this in, which is really scary, but I'll get to that later. Have you ever heard of two Portsmore gods called Tor and Gren? They're missing. I don't know how much I'm supposed to write in this letter, but I am in Portsmore right now. It's going okay. It's very rainy. It's really hard. But since we got here, it's been crazy. As soon as we got to town, everyone was freaking out. And, well, we met their serval named Birch, and they sent us out. And I went to their spirit island, and it was really, really weird because they're were druids and they were doing some dance or something, and afterwards we were talking to them and they told us that one of them, Teller, had a vision that the lastings cracked and sunk, and it was really scary. And right behind them there was this big orb of glowing energy called a Thoughtsmore. Nao thinks it's called a memory weaving, but I'm not sure what to call it. Anyway, I touched it and I saw the gods. It was really strange. Everything was blue and weird, and there was a big crack sound, and I saw that thing that was described as a human when we were kids. It was big and purple and got really mad at the gods and took them away, and it felt really sad and weird, and I don't really know what to think of it. What I was told was that there was a lot of grief and big emotions left in these thoughts more things, and that they're memories, but I'm not sure. I've never seen anything like it, and I was wondering if you or Mom know anything about this, but Alma's ship is broken, being repaired by lizards, and I just am kind of freaking out because a lot of weird things are happening. There were some books that were stolen here. One's, like, about the Great Uprising. I'm not very good at history. And the other one's in some ancient language that no one can read. Also, Lauren stole some books. Actually, no, Lauren didn't steal any books. Sorry, that was me lying. But someone stole some books from Zell, and Lauren broke up with me. Sorry I haven't told you guys. I know I need to write more, I'm sorry. But yeah, all of this happened, and now color is gone here. Is color gone there for you? I really can't see anything, and it's really hard to tell what potions are what in my pockets, and I don't know what's going on. There was a big gray cloud, and it came from the island where we saw the Thoughtsmore thing, and I don't know. I really miss home. I'm really confused. Please tell me that everything's okay over there. Bye.
We pick up with everyone on the Flying Dutchkith. Just after this kind of wave of gray washed over the land of Portsmore, Calyx and Birch are still there with you. The fabricators are still there. They've stopped working. And the city is very, very quiet as you look out at this, like, wash of gray. And Birch just looks around and says, do you all know what's going on here?
No,
not at all. We should go to the the right to the island, yeah?
Yeah, island.
Calyx speaks up. You might also want to go to the Crystal Shrine to speak with Teller, the high caretaker of Gleam, the god of prisms and rainbows. They might know what's going on.
Not to jump to conclusions here, but with a lot of gods going missing, and since you all have a god of prisms and rainbows, I have a feeling we have another god that's gone missing.
I think that maybe we may find another Thoughtsmore in there.
You're right.
If that happens when gods are plucked out of their duties.
It's a pretty major event. That makes sense.
So, should we go to the shrine first or Spirit Island? Or in the same place? Where is the Crystal Shrine?
Crystal Shrine is not too far from here. I can show you how to get there. And, in fact, I feel like if it's all right with you, Birch, I might accompany them for a while. As long as you escort me back to the town hall, I think that would be fine.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need an escort, I think.
Hey, what do you want me to do? And you see Teal standing close by. Should we continue to work on this?
Yes, yeah, please. We shouldn't put a hold on everything just because everything's gone gray. I'm sure it'll all be fine. We should just keep not panic and keep going on as normal. We'll figure it out. Just maybe focus on this for right now.
That makes a lot of sense. And Teal turns, gives like a high-pitched whistle. All the little lizard workers turn to them. All right, you heard them. Let's get this back going. And they kind of like scurry about and start fixing things back up.
So I remember that you said that the Smore was getting fainted and smaller as time went by in Spirit Island. If we do want to try and catch it or preserve it with weavings or through some other sort, maybe to bring it back as proof, or to maybe try and dive deeper into it. Maybe we should go there before we go to the Crystal Shrine.
Also, if there is, because it could have been fresh and over time the gods were gone. If the colors are gone now, maybe there's a new, bigger Thoughtsmore at the shrine that is already there. Maybe we can split up and try and catch both. If possible. I don't really know how magic works. I'm more of a stars kind of a kith. This feels a little out of my element.
Yeah. Ghosts are my thing. Not, you know, spells.
So my mentor told me a little bit about these things. Let me just go back real quick to my loom. I've got some notes in there. Maybe I could figure something out if we want to try and catch it.
Yeah, for sure.
I was thinking now to try and use the to get some tokens, maybe, and I was, because it seems like we're going to start getting again some things that are going to be more difficult to deal with. So in Wonderhome, right, we can get tokens if, for example, we inconvenience ourselves to help someone else. And I was thinking maybe the only option to capture those things is to have like a lot of equipment, and I was thinking maybe we need to carry the whole loom up there, or
that would be very
or something to that effect.
I don't think I would be able to give a token out for doing that. I see the inconvenience yourself, like to go out of your way to help somebody else.
Okay, so kind of like acts of selflessness that leave you a bit
more. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So Neo will still go back to their loom, ruffle through notes and papers and old designs, and try and see if there's anything that is escaping their mind on how to potentially try and capture or preserve the Moors.
Go ahead and give me an instinct roll.
7.
So you find in your notes vague instructions from your previous teacher of weaving that detail how to do this, but it's going to take time. Probably figuring it out as you go, you'll only have time to preserve one of the Thoughtsmores.
Now we'll just rush all the way back up from the loom. Okay, so I think I maybe fell asleep during the class, or I got distracted, so I don't have the like quick way of doing it, but I have, there's a way, but it will take quite a bit of time. So what you were saying And just like looks at Haku. Haku, this, I think we should go to the fresh one. Plus, I mean, colors, that's way more important than just water.
Is it still raining?
It's still raining.
When Neo says that, Haku like comes up to them and just gives a nice little hug, because Haku can see that there's a little bit of stress, especially with color, with like the loss of color in this moment. Okay, what can we, is there anything we could do to help you in this?
I'm sure I will probably fuck up at some point. Just be there if magic gets maybe out of control. I wouldn't want anything even worse to happen.
Okay.
I'm just gonna pat Neo on the back and just be like, don't worry. I'm sure you got it. I trust you.
To the shrine?
To the shrine.
To the shrine.
I guess we should escort Birch back home first, huh?
That would be really appreciated. I'm pretty nervous.
Well, don't let them see that. You gotta hold your head up high here, Captain.
I will try. And he sort of like takes a deep breath and like grounds himself, takes a like a power stance and says, all right, let's do this.
Would you like a piece of candy?
Depends on what kind of candy it is.
He can't tell what color things are anymore, so it takes a while. And then his pocket of candy for people, like, he looks at the pile in his palms and he goes,
usually I know what flavor everything is, but you can just pick one from here if you recognize anything without their colors.
And they, like, reach in and grab something, and they unfurl it, pop it in their mouth, take a couple, like, sucks on it. Butterscotch, not my favorite, but it'll do.
Sorry, yeah, I don't really label these.
Yeah.
You live and you learn, right? It's fine. Let's go.
Labels are overrated anyway, right, Fletcher?
Yeah.
So, the six of you head out. Birch just kind of like crawls up. Calyx hops on his shoulder and basically just rides the whole way there. The city is, again, like torrentially downpouring, and the streets are like pretty much empty, and again just like very quiet. You do see people every now and then, and Birch calls out to them as you pass by them. It would probably behoove you to go back to your place of residence until we can figure out a plan. All right, we've got this. Yes, please, citizens, please return to your places of residence. We need order and calm in the streets at this time. And those folks would kind of all go away, except one giant, kind of like a cow kith, walks over and says, listen here, if you can't tell me what the heck's going on, I'm just gonna keep doing what I want to do, all right? And they walk over to their cart of goods and start kind of walking down the street, like ringing a bell. Goods for sale! Anybody need some goods? Goods for sale! And Calyx and them walk over and try to, like, stop the person with the cart, and they're really struggling to get them to stop what they were doing.
I was gonna walk on over there, you know, arms crossed over her chest as she looks up at, you know, this pretty significantly large kith, and she's just gonna go, hey, they're just trying to look out for you. Why are you being so combative to people looking after you?
Huh? I've got a living to make.
Well, you're not going to be making much of a living if there are no customers out here to buy your goods, because everyone's panicking.
Well, for me, I'm panicking, and this is the way I'm dealing with it.
Well, you know, we all deal with things in different ways, and I can respect that. But, you know, the serval of your lovely, you know, nation is trying to keep everybody safe. And if you're going against that, it's not that, you know, we want to stop you from doing what you want to do, is that we want to keep you safe and out of harm. And to be honest, like, we don't fully understand what's going on. So until we figure out what's happening, we just want to make sure that nobody gets hurt in the meantime.
Go ahead and give me a heart roll.
So that's two sixes and a two, baby. So that's a 14.
Oh, Heck yeah. So the cow just kind of like looks back and forth down the street, and Calyx was like standing at the front of their cart, kind of pushing back against it as the cow was like pushing forward, and they stop and say, "Well, I think it would just calm my heart to sell a good or two. Would you mind, quote unquote, buying something from me?"
"Well, what do you sell?"
And you look down and it's just like a cart full of random like knickknacks, like lots of just like different trinkets.
Oh, I love knickknacks. Is there anything in particular that might catch my eye?
Go ahead and give me a D100 if you have a D100.
That was a 49.
You see a whistle that is seemingly made of bone. Like a miniature, like, rod whistle, not like a coach's whistle, yeah.
Like a recorder.
Yes, but like really small.
What about this? How much would this cost me?
Honestly, we can just shake on it. That'll be good enough for me right now.
You sure?
Yes, I just had to sell something, you know? That's kind of what calms me.
All right, well, let's shake on it then.
Their hand kind of wraps around Alma's much smaller hand, because they're probably like close to like 7 feet tall. Like they're a tall kith, and shakes your hand vigorously, kind of shaking your whole body.
Almost like whole body, like shakes.
Well, if you are needing any trinkets, just come see me, and let all your friends know as well.
Yeah, no, for sure, we'll do, absolutely. We've kind of got to run right now because we're trying to fix this, but once we fix it, we know where to get our knickknacks.
I understand. I'll be going home now. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right, well, have a good rest of your day. Let's go, gang.
Birch says, that was quite impressive.
Yeah, I think Alma really knows how to talk with people who try to continue carrying out their responsibilities in the face of chaos.
What are you trying to say here, Neo?
Neo holds it for like barely a fraction of a second and then just got like looks into their feet like, and spoke.
So you all carry on through the streets, turning people back, Birch giving them kind of calm, reassuring messages that everything's fine. They're handling it. You drop Birch off at Town Hall and you head over to the crystal shrine. It's not too far from Town Hall, actually, and as you get past Town Hall, you can finally see it off in the distance, this, again, like, tower made of this sort of, like, crystally see-through material, not like anything else around. And it's also not necessarily building-shaped. It's more of, like, a giant crystal. And the closer you get, you have this feeling, like, again, especially Fletcher, that like something is drawing you in that direction. And you get up to the tower, open the giant like crystal doors. Calyx leads you inside. You have to go up like this massive like winding staircase made of crystal. You get up to the top. There is a giant like prism shaped crystal that is like hanging from chains from the ceiling. On the ground, kind of in a lump or a pile, kind of haphazardly laying there, is a stoat in a flowing robe, seemingly unconscious. And a stoat, if you don't know, is similar to a mongoose but smaller.
Calyx, is this person usually asleep over here?
And as you ask that, like, Calyx, like, rushes over and yells back, "No, look, this is not like them." And they start, like, trying to, like, fidget with them, like, kind of rouse them, tapping them, like, shaking them a little. They're not waking up.
Do they have a pulse?
I don't know. I'm not a medical person. It's not my strong suit.
Alma, can you check? Oh my god,
yeah,
Alma.
Yeah, I'm okay. Hold on, yeah, I'm. almost gonna walk over and kneel down next to the person and put her fingers against their neck to try and find the pulse.
Give me an, I think, an instinct roll for this one.
Okay, so that is a 11 total.
Yes, they have a pulse. It's fairly strong and steady, but definitely just like knocked out cold, seemingly from exhaustion, though.
They're fine. They're fine. They're alive. Looks like they just passed out from exhaustion. Here, we can make them more comfortable, but they're okay. They'll wake up on their own. They just need to kind of recuperate their energy. But we can make them more comfortable for when they wake up, so their back doesn't hurt. I'm gonna stretch this person out on their back, and I'm gonna take off my jacket, and I'm gonna like wrap it up, bundle it up, and turn it into a pillow, and just put it under like the back of their neck.
Kallax, is there only one Kith in charge of this site?
There tend to be a few more. They come and go. And they might be here in the tower somewhere, but Teller is, again, the head caretaker.
Try to think, when you saw the purple thing in the air, how would it look if it wasn't purple? How can we find the purple thing if we can't see purple?
Well, it was a floating orb, and it didn't have a smell,
There was also a cold feeling with it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess just describe how you'd start looking for it in this kind of like a kind of circular room, but like the rough jagged edges of a crystal as well. And again, at the center is this like massive prism hanging from a chain that like goes all the way up to the ceiling, which is about 40 feet up. It's a pretty tall ceiling.
Fletcher's running laps, trying to feel the cold, running laps, flaps fully out.
I think Haku is just looking up. Because it was a glowing orb, which, you know what glows in the sky? Stars. So I think Haku is just keeping his head up to the sky and hoping that they'd find something up in the little rafters.
You do eventually see a little brighter spot, like a glowing spot, about 20 feet above the prism near one of the chains.
Guys. I think I found it. I think, is it? Okay, so if you tilt your head like this, and like look right at the chain, it's right, do you see it right there? Do you see, it's a little glowing.
It's the one that's like pretty small, it looks like it's glowing.
Yeah, it's up there, so there's there, that's.
I thought it was gonna be bigger.
Oh, it's actually not too small at this point. Like, it's about the size of like a beach ball. It's bigger than the one that you first saw on Spirit Island.
Oh, how did I miss that?
He's out of breath.
So how do we get it?
Are we allowed to climb this chain thing?
Do we have a ladder?
We could throw you.
Alma, that's dangerous.
It's right there. Okay.
It's super windy.
Fletcher has a built-in parachute, okay?
This is true.
You just give him a little boost, and it's fine.
You could throw me.
Fletcher's literally fallen out of windows before and been fine, okay?
Haku is laughing. They're on the ground, like, rolling and laughing at this comment.
Is what I'm saying so... I feel like what I'm saying makes sense. I feel like I make sense.
I think you make sense.
Like, I mean, how is it any more dangerous than you climbing up there and, like, slipping or something? Which is, like, very possible.
I have done that also.
Fletcher, I love you.
I love you too.
But dexterity isn't your strong suit.
Like, I can lift you. I don't think I can throw you. I could do, like, a little, like, if we do, like, a little boost.
Kallax, can you throw me, buddy?
And you notice, like, Kallax is standing behind Fletcher, like, kind of, like, hands ready, and says, I thought you would never ask. And picks Fletcher up, just, like, takes a running start, and, whoosh, like, throws Fletcher up. Fletcher, give me a swift roll.
Oh, man. Okay.
And I think you can take a +1 from Kallax.
Dice, don't fail me now. Ooh, 12.
Describe what it looks like for you to sort of soar up to the orb.
For a moment, Fletcher becomes a bit of a football spinning through the sky. Fletcher's POV. Everything's very dizzy. Because there are no colors, it kind of all looks the same. And he loses a bit of sense of what is air, what is him, what is body, what's going on. And then for a moment, he sticks his arms out and stabilizes a little. Fletcher's gliding. It's beautiful. He's doing a little shake. And then he sees the thoughts more and stretches out his arms. This makes him more aerodynamic, and we are zooming towards it.
You almost, like, would zip past it, but you, like, grab onto the chain and kind of, like, spin around it a few times, and then you're there hanging on the chain right next to the Thoughtsmore.
Fletcher touches it.
And you feel the cold as you kind of fade into this sort of, like, void space again. And you're no longer in gray anymore. You're in the tower. And again, it's kind of that purplish hue. You see Teller, the caretaker, kind of like standing near where they fell, arms stretched out, hands open, eyes closed, muttering something. And you see this like aura of energy around them and the giant prism. Inside the giant prism is a sort of like, I would say undulating, but it's kind of like a shifting, like cloudy shape that every now and then like takes the form of a giant peacock. And every time it like shifts, it like casts like these different, or what you'd assume, different colors around the room. And the perspective sort of shifts kind of to look around the room, and you see that giant purple smoky entity. Essentially, they are going on a tirade about Teller and how Teller's weak magic won't last much longer, and raises their hand, energy forms in it, and throws a beam at the sort of sphere of energy around Teller and the prism. That energy kind of like cracks as it's hit. The being takes another hand. Doosh, another crack. Doosh, another crack. Two hands. Doosh. The sphere shatters and Teller collapses on the ground. Then the entity walks over to the prism, reaches inside, and pulls out the energy known as Gleam, the god of prisms and rainbows, and then disappears. And then you're back.
Whoa! Oh my god!
Fletcher has to, like, remember to hold on to the chain.
Are you okay?
You probably should have strapped yourself in.
I saw the human again.
Uh-huh.
It took Gleam and Bully Teller. There's a, like, purple smoky human ghost around.
Like around here? No?
Well, it seems to be traveling. It was just here, and it did something to Teller, and it took the god of prisms and rainbows.
Like took, guided, godnapped,
reached into the prism down there, and grabbed Gleam and vanished.
The last time, he kind of scolded the goats into following him, right? This time, just straight up snatched.
Well, I think Teller was protecting the god. Teller was doing some sort of magic, and the purple human said that Teller was weak and that it wasn't going to work. And the god was inside the prism, and then the human broke everything and then just reached in and grabbed Gleam.
So maybe it wasn't just exhaustion. Did you say so? He shot some magic at it?
Yeah, like something that looked really powerful.
Like a magic vault?
Well, Teller was standing with their arms open and saying some magic, and it caused an aura of energy. But it cracked because of the human.
Fletcher, this is a weird thing to ask. Can you just put your ear on the prism up there and see if there's any noise coming from it?
Okay.
He does it.
Can you bring down the thing first?
Can it be held and carried?
It can't be held, because every time you touch it, you kind of go into it. And so, like, yeah, you would try to touch it again and then, like, kind of go through the memory and see it again and then come back. For you, it feels like a few minutes, but for everybody else, it's just, like, a few seconds. But, yeah, you can't hold it.
Does it move?
Doesn't seem like with the touch, it moves. But, again, like, you don't have to touch it very hard to, like, go into the memory.
Fletcher's gonna try blowing at it real quick to see if it moves.
Give me a swift check.
10.
You take a big breath and, like, blow at it, and it does start to, like, nudge a little bit.
Using one arm to stay stable and use the other arm to, like, flap at it.
With that, you would, like, slowly work your way down, like, flapping at it as it kind of, like nudges down. And eventually you're on top of the prism, and the orb is close by.
Can friends reach it now, or is it just slightly more manageable?
It's slightly more manageable, but you're probably, like, a good, like, 10 or 15 feet off the ground still, on top of the prism.
Can I put my ear to it now?
The sound of, like, nothing. Like, it's not silence, it's, like, the absence of sound is what you hear.
It sounds like nothing. Like, it sounds like something, but, like, nothing.
What do you mean?
Like, you know when you, like, put your head underwater and you can't hear anything, but, like, there's all this stuff in your ears?
Yes.
It's like that.
Calyx speaks up and says, maybe we should wake up Teller somehow? I don't know. I'm kind of useless with this stuff.
Don't say that. You did really well on the Fletcher throne.
I can throw things, but I don't know magic and spiritual stuff.
That's okay. You're doing great.
Well, thank you.
Calyx, no one's ever thrown me like that before. I was, like, flying. In order to glide like that, I usually have to jump off, like, the 10th bridge in the lastings. Just so you know, the 10th bridge is really high.
Haku goes through, like, their pockets and pulls out a little tin, and it's their chai mix that they have from home, and goes over and just goes, is there, like, a kitchen possibly where we can get some hot water? This tea is kind of something that keeps me up and wakes me up, like, right in the morning. From the lastings. Or I could just kind of, like, shove it underneath the nose and hope that happens. But I feel like it should have a cup of tea.
Wait, if we're making tea, can I come down there and join?
Yes, we still need the orb.
Oh, yeah.
Now that Fletcher's on the prism, can Fletcher try doing a double flap?
Yeah, situation? With a double flap, it just takes, like, two of them before the Thoughtsmore is close enough to where Nayu can start examining it.
What's this about an invitation? GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600-plus page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound, as well as industry partners like Darrington Press, Modifius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. The chosen projects will receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. The call for submissions is open from May 5th through the 26th, with crowdfunding going live fall of 2026. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, but if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today. This episode was brought to you by World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the powers those worlds have to shape our own. Their posts are wide-ranging, and if you can't find something that interests you, That's gotta be a skill issue. Because even with a quick glance on their front page, I found posts about The Sims, about Project Hail Mary, about Halloween Town of all things, a movie I ritually watch every October. But one of my favorites was a post about Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers, which is a wonderful duology, a little slice of life about a tea monk and a sentient robot. And the World Builders Club article is a wonderful peek into the themes of the books. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Sanguis Populi. The blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest, familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task, slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tales Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, is anyone else out there obsessed with dice? Does anyone out there want to join the I Have Too Many Dice Sets for My Own Good Club? Or is this going to be a party of one? Because I would be the first to tell you that I have a dice problem. But I don't necessarily think that's the worst problem to have. So if you've got the same mindset, QueerPG has a fun little offer for you. If you head over to fanrolldice.com, you can use our code QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. They've got gemstone dice, my personal favorite. They've got wooden dice, they've got metal dice, and a whole bunch of other designs and accessories to fit all of your dice gremlin needs. So, if you find you're itching for something new to add to your collection, head on over to fanrolldice.com and remember, QueerPG10, that's QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off. Have fun rolling!
Neil will kind of look at Calyx and go, hey, maybe you could go down and see if Fletcher needs any help.
And looks at you, looks over at Fletcher, and I think they're pretty good. They know what they're doing, right?
Yes. And it just like walks towards the orb, unhappy about the resolution.
And then like you see Calyx like pause and like look up off in the corner, and I'm like, yes, Fletcher, can I join you and Haku?
Yeah. Do you want some tea?
I would love a good cup.
That's great. Tea is so great.
It is. Do you have a breakfast tea? Is it only that chai?
I have all sorts of tea, but I am kind of having trouble telling the difference between them right now without all the colors, but I can smell them.
Sounds good. All right, let's go find a kitchen. Just three very good friends gonna go make some tea.
Let's go make some tea!
So as the three of them head down the stairs, Neo, I guess, describe what it looks like to get your loom set up and start weaving.
So, I brought most of the kind of like the smaller pieces of it that I could need for this. One of them is a big wheeling circle, and I'm going to try and weave a tapestry that is almost a net. It will have some holes, a bit kind of like a mesh situation, and hopefully it's circular and big enough that we can use it almost as a as a satchel. And the design Neo is going to go for is picking threads that Neo thinks they know what colors they are from one side, and then on the other side picking threads of silver and black and white. Try and do a tapestry of the city as Neo saw it when coming in with the flying ship. And it will be kind of like a, like an ombre situation where it goes from colorful rainy blue to just black and white, and just represent that in the satchel and try and cover it up and see if that can carry the thing out while stabilizing the magic inside.
So go ahead and give me a wild roll.
So Alma, when you're trying to help people move on, or when you're trying to help spirits stay where they are, is there anything you do that could help them stay or be at peace with how they are? Maybe I could apply some of those principles.
Well, the thing about, you know, people and spirits is that you can talk to them. Like, it's really nothing special. Most people just need to be listened to and, you know, be given the space to talk about their stuff. Like, especially ghosts, because, you know, not everybody gets to say everything that they want to say before they go. So sometimes they just need that opportunity. It's about feeling, you know, loved and cared for.
All right. Thank you. That helps. As Neo keeps weaving, they will, like, every now and again, kind of, like, touch the memory and try and gather a color palette from there and just try and listen to the memory. That's a 6 and a 3 and a wild, so that's 10.
Everything that you said kind of starts to take form. You start weaving this. I imagine Neo has, like, the instructions from the professor as well, and they're, like, kind of going back and forth as they're, like, getting the circle loom going. Following these instructions, like, doesn't make sense at first, but as you're doing it, like, it just almost like your instinct takes over. Magic and, like, different things kind of, like, come around the weaving and out of the loom, and that starts to happen, and these, like, tendrils start to, like, kind of reach out from your loom and start grabbing, like, little bits of essence from the thoughts more, and start, like, making it into another bit of thread that starts to go into the weaving. You said, like, white, silver, and black. You can tell that there's, like, a new thread in there that's, like, this shimmery purple, or would be this shimmery purple, amongst those threads as you're starting to weave this, like, circular bag that would be big enough to hold this thoughts more in its state. But again, this is gonna take a while. And just as you're working on that, what are you doing, Alma? Because you see Neo kind of, like, get into the zone and, like, phase out.
Well, it's been a while since I've gotten to just see Neo, like, work and, like, do their thing. So Alma is, like, you know, watching the way that their hands, you know, move across the threads and weave something together. Number one is very impressive because Alma can't, like, see herself doing anything like that, like, detailed. Like, the most Alma works with thread is when she's using thread in, like, ritual practice and, like, sewing mouths and things shut. She's glad to see something beautiful being done, whereas, you know, she usually is doing something a bit more crude with thread. So she just kind of, you know, sits there and, you know, watches Neo work as a happy observer.
So Alma, you just took a moment to describe take in the beauty and describe it to the table. So I love that. So you have a token. While you're watching, observing, you maybe fidget a little bit and you feel that whistle in your pocket.
Alma kind of like pulls it out and like kind of flips it around in her hands a bit. I'm kind of curious what this sounds like. She knows how most whistles work. So she just kind of brings it up to her lips and blows.
You don't hear anything and you're kind of pissed because like this is like a not working whistle.
Can I blow it harder?
You blow it harder and still nothing happens. The air is going through the whistle like a whistle normally does, and there's absolutely no sound besides just like the air going through it.
I was gonna like shake it like next to her ear, like, is there something in there blocking the something?
You shake it, you look in the holes, and yeah, it seems like everything's perfectly fine. Like, no cracks in it, just like a mouthpiece with like that little like scooped out bit, and then like the tunnel or channel that the air would travel through and out the bottom. Very simple. Like, there's doesn't seem like there could be anything wrong with it. If you want, you could give me an instinct roll.
I think I will. A 7.
You're kind of putting it together that since this is made of bone, that maybe it does have something to do with death or the dead or those who have passed on or still lingering. But part of you kind of also realizes that maybe it's not working because, again, something with the gods, something with magic. And you might just have to test this out in more places. But whatever it's supposed to do, it's not working here.
She's just gonna slide it back into her pocket.
We go down the stairs with Fletcher, Haku, and Kallax. Haku, you notice that Kallax is walking next to Fletcher, and there's just the amount of space in between them for a sweet otter boy to like make like a three kith sort of like walking crew to go down the stairs together.
Haku will happily go step in that beautiful little space.
You see Kallax kind of like, hello there, Haku. Are you enjoying the tower?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm assuming it's much more vibrant with color?
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. When the sun breaks through the rain clouds and hits this place, it's quite gorgeous. It can sometimes get a little hot, but it's wonderful.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's a nice location. I didn't say Spirit Island was also pretty cool, too. So, yeah. This is a nice little adventure.
Maybe you and Fletcher, and kind of like looks around, could come visit sometime after the colors are back.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Things tend to be better with colors.
Yes, they do. Fletcher and I were just talking about tea. I was letting them know that my favorite is a breakfast tea. Yes, I could do a green tea as well, but I prefer a good old standard black tea.
Mm. You'll enjoy the chai, because it's black tea. There's some nice tastes of, like, it's a very warm taste, and it's very cool. It's a special blend that's only made on the lastings.
That sounds delightful. You'll continue chatting as you get to like a middle level of the tower with lots of different like doors. Maybe we should try these. I've not really done any exploring here. I just got up to look at the prism and commune with Gleam.
Yeah, there's gotta be a kitchen somewhere here.
Haku starts knocking on doors. Hello?
So the first one you knock at, you don't hear anything. Like, no, nothing in response.
I check if it's unlocked.
It is unlocked. You open it up, and it is a storage closet. Just, like, different supplies for, again, taking care of this facility, but also taking care of the prism to make sure it's nice and clean. So just, like, a lot of, like, cleaning powders and brooms and cloths and just different odds and ends supplies like that. The next one you knock on, it, like, you hear a, just a minute, and shuffling about, and then the door swing open, and you see a chicken dressed in a similar robe to Teller, and I say, hello, can I help you?
Hi, I'm Haku, we're here, does this chicken realize that there is no color?
Yes.
Okay, Good. Hello. So we're here to help bring gods back. Hi, I'm Haku. Actually, we're kind of looking for tea to wake Teller up. Not tea. We're looking for hot water to make tea because Teller is asleep upstairs. I don't think they're asleep because, hi, I'm Haku.
We saw a human.
The chicken just is like so confused, like with it. Just as any other, like, social interaction with that Haku and Fletcher seem to have, does not make any sense. It does not flow in a way that typical Kith will talk in. And they say, excuse me? And Kallax steps up and says, I'm truly sorry. Me and my friends here are helping dealing with this color thing. And Teller is upstairs, who is passed out, and we're hoping to make some tea for them. Oh my stars, Teller, are they okay?
Well, we think Teller was using a lot of energy, and then a purple human came and cracked the energy a bunch of times, and now Teller's asleep.
Alright, I'm still not understanding everything, but do you need my tea kettle?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
All right, come on in. My name's Ton.
Hi, Ton. I'm Fletcher.
Yes, it's very nice to meet you, even though I'm a little confused. Who are you? Looking over at Haku.
Hi, I'm Haku. Really nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well, and we know each other. Looking over at Kallax. Yes, I've been here before. Yeah, so my name's Ton, and they take you inside their, like, little apartment space. It's not a lot. It's, again, made of crystal, and there's, like, a little small kitchen area there at the front, a living space with a cute little bed off in the corner. Lots of little, like, plants hanging from the ceiling from different, like, twine chain, and, like, a little window with, like, lots of little plants, on the windowsill. Here, I'll get it going. And they put a few rocks together, some sparks fly, and they get a little fire going over their tea kettle. So, I'm one of Taylor's assistants, and I'm not as skilled as they are in magic, but I've been learning.
That's great. How has your magic been since the color thing happened?
Well, normally I could cast a little flame spell to start up the fire, but I haven't been able to do that lately, which is kind of weird. But then the colors started going, and I was like, am I going crazy? And then I talked to my friend, and they were like, no, I don't see colors too. And I was like, okay, thank the stars, I'm not going crazy. I mean, I'm a little crazy, but not all that crazy. I should still see colors, though.
I have a question about color. What does purple mean to you?
To me, purple means, like, healing and respite, rejuvenation. What does purple mean to you, since we're asking?
Memory and cold. And then, like, Haku, like, raises, like, essentially an eyebrow and see if anything, like, sparks with him.
With, so seeing if talking about memory and cold triggers something with Ton.
Yes.
Some people around here, especially people that can see those memory things, think purple is kind of like sacred for kind of like the past and trying to commemorate or something like that. Yeah, but I just deal with colors usually. Colors, rainbows, crystals. Got a little knack for making plants grow. Hope I can keep them alive. No, I can't do magics, but, oh, I could do a little flame spell. You just have to trust me, though.
Yes, we trust.
So, you know about the purple things, but you haven't seen them before?
Oh, no. Not everybody can see them, just certain folks. I don't have that sight.
How do you know about them?
My mammy did, but I didn't get it.
Who can see the purple spear memory cold things?
Honestly, I've not done much research on it. When I talked to Mammy about it, she said just some people had that gift, or the sight, as she called it.
So, how long have you known about these things in Portsmore?
My Mammy was a lot older than me, and she saw them, so...
When did your Mammy see them?
I don't know. Maybe I could talk to her. She ain't alive anymore, though. We need somebody who could do that. I can't speak to the dead, usually, as well. Again, colors, plants, little bitty flame spell.
Haku starts doing the little, like, patty pat at Fletcher's shoulder. Ooh!
Do you need to use the restroom that's right there?
No. Haku means that we have a friend who can talk to ghosts and dead people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is your friend here?
Yeah, just in the prison room.
Oh, hell. Then you hear the tea kettle, like, kind of whistling. Sounds like it's time to make some tea and get upstairs. Here, they take the top of the kettle off. Throw some leaves in there.
Haku does some scoops of the tea.
You there, big guy. And points to Calyx. Grab these mugs. Yeah, they grab the tea kettle and, like, just start walking out. So, as y'all make your way back upstairs, you get the tea poured out, cooled down enough to where you can start drinking it. I guess I'll do this. And they get down and hold Teller's, like, head underneath their lap and tilt it up a little bit and try to, like, slowly pour some tea down in their mouth. That person seems like they're a little busy. I'm assuming you're the death talker, points to Alma.
What? Yeah, that's me.
Can you talk to my mammy?
Yeah. Whereabouts is she?
She's on my mantle.
On your, okay, yeah.
She got cremated.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. That shouldn't interfere at all. Where's your mantle?
It's downstairs. You know, like, I've got an apartment down there.
Okay, yeah, no, I can, why am I talking to this person's grandmother?
Sight, being able to see the purple orbs.
Lead me to Grammy, I guess.
Well, I need to finish up with this fella right here, but as soon as Taylor's awake, I can walk you down there. Hey, y'all got any good recipes? Been running out of ideas and getting a lot bored of what I'm cooking. You cook anything good lately?
I made a cake recently.
Oh, hell, I love cake.
So today's actually Fletcher's birthday, so this morning when we flew in, we had a cake before ship broke down, need to get towed. It's a whole thing. But the cake was good.
It was really good. It's my favorite.
What kind was it?
It's a fruit cake.
Is there any left over? Can I have some?
I think there's some left over on the ship. I can't vouch for its quality, given that it's been a few hours. But I'm happy to make a fresh one at some point.
Cake is still good after a day.
Yeah, I mean, cake is cake, and I love cake. But also, I do have a kitchen.
No! Oh, yes, I'm assuming that's where you made the tea.
That's where the tea came from. Well, hopefully this works. And they continue just to pour tea, little trickle at a time, into Teller's mouth. And eventually you do see that Teller starts to stir and raise their hand up, rub their eye, and look around kind of squinting.
Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Where's the color? Oh, dear.
They look over at the prism. Oh, dear. Where's Gleam? Oh, my God. Hey, little fella. You gotta calm down. These are my friends. That's Haku over there. That's Fletcher. Haven't met that person. They're a little busy.
I'm Alma.
Oh, Alma. Yes, and then, uh-huh. you know Calyx, and this Kith just leaving away. I don't know them yet, but...
That's Nail.
What happened? What's going on?
Fletcher, you got this.
Hey, do you remember on Spirit Island when all that stuff was going on?
Yes.
Yeah, so right after that, we went to our ship, and then all the color disappeared, and we came here, and then there was another glowing thingy, and you were on the floor asleep, and I touched the orb, and it looks like the big purple human took Gleam, and knocked you out.
I don't know if we've met before. Oh, you mean, did you meet, the teller who works on Spirit Island a lot? Is that? Okay. Oh, okay, yes, that's not
me. Yeah, teller the seagull. I guess you have the same name. That was confusing.
Teller is like one of the most common names for kith around my age here. Sucks because you feel like you're everyone else, but then also there's a little bit of community when you meet another Teller.
Do you also have scary visions? Because Seagull Teller had really scary visions.
Oh no, I don't get visions. I tend to just enjoy colors and protecting them.
Oh, well, it didn't work. I'm really sorry. If you touch the orb, you can see the colors again, but you'll also see yourself getting bullied and knocked out. So, yeah. Oh, right before you passed out, do you remember seeing a purple human?
Yes. I had never seen that before. And it scared me, so I tried my best to protect Gleam, but I'm guessing that didn't work.
No, the human's really powerful. The human also took Tor and Gren.
I guess that explains the rain.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna talk to Ton's mammy if you want to join us.
Talk to who?
Ton's mammy.
Oh, she's a wonderful kith. Yes, I might do that. Just give me a few moments.
Okay, do you want a piece of candy?
Yes, what kind do you have?
Well, I know some of this is butterscotch, but I can't really tell.
Ooh, I love butterscotch.
Okay, I think this one's a butterscotch.
Oh, I really hope it's a butterscotch.
And they take it from you, unwrap it, put it in their mouth.
It tastes like roses. It's not my favorite, but it'll do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll try another.
And they take another and put it in their pocket.
I think the sugar is helping me, though.
That's good.
I'll try to stand.
Hey, little feller, you need to, take it slow. Calyx, can you give me a hand? Yes, right away. And Calyx and Talon kind of slowly lift up Teller as they kind of gather their strength, and the group starts to walk downstairs. Does anybody stay with Nayu though while they're weaving?
Haku stays.
As y'all start to walk down, Calyx says, "Fletcher, I think we might need some help. Can you get the doors?"
Yeah. These doors are a lot bigger than me, though, but I can do it.
And y'all are back in the apartment, but I guess describe, again, what you do in this ritual to hopefully commune with Mammy.
Yeah, so I'm going to walk over to the mantle, and I'm going to, kind of gesture at, the objects on the mantle and be like, is this, which one is Mammy?
Yeah, there's lots of jars of various sizes, and Tawn walks Teller over to the bed, and Teller kind of lays back down, looking at, in the direction of the mantle, and Tawn comes over. Honestly, I kind of forget sometimes. Let me see. And I go through and start looking through them. Nope, this is just paper, some sort of spice. This one. And it is the one at the center. It looks a little bit nicer than the other jars. I should really start labeling things. Do you need candles or anything?
No, it's fine. Don't worry. I take the urn and Alma's gonna sit on the ground and hold this urn kind of in her hands, in her lap. She's gonna hold it and she's gonna close her eyes and she's gonna kind of just reach, mentally reach out into the other side, using the urn and Mammy's ashes as kind of a focus, to create a path to Mammy in her mind through which to lead her to corporealness in the moment.
Go ahead and give me a wild check.
That's a 12, baby.
It seems to take a little more work than usual. You do see kind of the misty shape of a old, tired chicken kind of off in the distance, and you're trying to make this path and you can't seem to get there, and you feel that whistle in your pocket once again.
Alma's gonna reach into her pocket and she's gonna bring the whistle up to her lips and she's gonna blow.
You use the ghost whistle. The other side did seem a bit more misty, foggy, clouded than normal. When you blow that whistle, you hear a high-pitched sort of sound on the other side that cuts through that fog and the misty chicken off in the distance kind of perks up, starts to float in your direction. They arrive, looking very stern, and say,
"What in tarnation is going on here?"
"Hello, ma'am. Are you a Grammy of Taunt?"
"No, I'm not. I'm Mammy."
"Mammy, my apologies. I'm here to ask you an important question. Things are a little bit rough back on the mortal plane, and I'm told that you might have some knowledge that might help us."
"I guess I can help you."
"Thank you. Thank you very much.
You did wake me up from my slumber, but I'll do what I can."
"I heard tell that you might have some knowledge about glowing purple orbs. I think you call them Thoughtsmores around these parts."
"Yep, that I do."
"What can you tell me about them?"
"I mean, they're just memories of things that happen. Most of the time, very vibrant memories. But yeah, I can see them."
Is there something about you that makes you able to see them especially well?"
"I mean, I was told I just had the sight and I could see them, you know? Some people just have that connection. I guess the same as you who have a connection to the dead, those who pass."
"Okay. Yeah, that makes sense." Alma's gonna, like, pop her head back into the mortal plane. Like, "Hey, guys. I have Mammy on the phone."
"She pitching a fit?"
She is very lovely, very pleasant woman. "Was there something specific I was... other than about the Thoughtsmores?" "Pretty much she just said that they said she had the sight and that she said that, like, I have a connection to ghosts and the dead and the other side, that people who can see the Thoughtsmores just have a connection to the past."
"Can you ask her why she's seen them before and who made them and where it came from and if all the colors disappeared and if she's ever seen a human and..."
Yeah. Let's start there. I'll be right back. Alma goes back into the astral plane. "Hey, okay, so when you saw them before, was there like a particular reason why they showed up? Was there somebody who made them?"
"I mean, from what I've known, what I was told is that they would show up when, like, big things happen, you know, like tragedies, just lots of, like, when kith have big emotion, they can show up."
"Okay, so we make them in a way."
"Yeah, I guess you could say that. We can't control it, but I guess they do come from us."
"Interesting. At any point in your life, did the colors disappear?"
"The colors disappeared? No, I got to a point where I couldn't see very well, but colors never disappeared."
Okay. And last question. This is a big one. "Have you ever seen a human before?"
And when you say that, they seem to change a little bit. They get really scared. "What do you mean? You've seen..."
"I mean, me personally, no, I haven't. But I have some friends who touched the orbs, and I guess they saw a, like, big human."
Oh gods. Tell them to stay away. Do whatever you can to not go near them." You feel like she's about to say something, and then you're just, like, back in the mortal plane.
"Alma, what'd she say? Alma. Alma, does she know what the orbs are? Do you know where they came from?"
"Well, they said that the orbs, the Thoughtsmores and stuff, come from us, come from the Kith. Like, pretty much, if we have, like, really, really, really strong emotion, so we can't really control it, but it comes from us. As for the colors, no. They said their vision was getting pretty bad at the end of, you know?"
"Yeah, Mammy's eyes did go, but her sass never left either."
"No, that's still very, very real. And that there was one more thing that they mentioned."
"Did she tell you that nasty joke?"
I wish. So I asked about the He-Mans, and they got really upset about that.
Wait, you asked her about humans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have warned you. She don't like them.
See, Alma, humans are real.
They said, stay away. They said, get as far away as you can from the He-Mans. That's what they said. What could they possibly know about He-Mans that we don't know? Also, what do you mean that she didn't like the He-Mans?
She saw one once.
Like a live one?
No, while she was doing some seeing, she saw one. That's what she told me, and at least she was just never the same after that.
Did she tell you what she saw?
She would never go into details, but it changed her.
Do your seers keep an archive of any of their visions?
You could probably find somebody to talk to you about it. Maybe go try the library, maybe?
Okay.
Here's your mammy back.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, with that, we pop back up to Nayu. How's the weaving going? What are some things that you're going through? What are you thinking about? Because you've kind of like gone into this sort of like magical space.
Haku, you start to hear Nayu muttering under their breath as they are weaving. And they have a smile and they seem very enthralled in the process and just being like, oh, this is actually fun. I had forgotten this feeling. And actually, every time I touch this, I get to see colors again. This is good. However, and Neo begins to get a bit worried just by tapping into that memory again and again and again, on how like strong and powerful and scary that human is, and just continuing to expose themselves to it as they weave, and their enjoyment of it begins to like fade a little, and then they begin to finish the touching bits and stop touching the orb and begin to, you know, like try and fold the bag around it, and then as they start doing the final details on the closing, they regain a bit of that enjoyment.
I would say that as you stop the weaving process to put it around the orb, when you come out of like this magical stupor, like you're again like covered in sweat now, Haku, you notice Nayu like get up from their stool and they like start to like teeter over. And I'd say at this time like Fletcher and Alma are probably back up as well, and you all have to help Nayu like walk over and finish this process. And Nayu, I feel like you get a token.
Oh yeah, guys, this is actually much wider and bigger than I anticipated. If you can grab it from the sides, Alma, if you can go to the top in there, Hoku there, and then I think between the four of us we can probably come together and close it at the top. My hands can't reach.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah.
Alright, on three.
On three. One, two, three. And now takes the last kind of like three kind of like needle stabs across it so that it doesn't like kind of like just open. If we ever leave it down.
Nayu, I imagine you would have, like, woven some, like, handles for it, too. So you have, like, little handles to, like, actually carry it. And the five of you, along with Teller and Tawn, stand there, kind of basking in this moment where you have this thoughts more contained. And now that you have it, you can take it wherever you go, see if other people have had experience with them, and you know that, like, this is a step in the right direction for figuring out what's happening.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening.
You can follow QueerPG on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at QueerPGPod. QueerPG is made possible by all of you who listen and share the show. So, if you like what you hear, please rate and review. It helps other people find the podcast. You can also support the show by signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/queerpg. If you're interested in seeing transcripts for the episodes, all of those from previous episodes and episodes to come can be found on our website, queerpg.com. Until next time.